Do your knees make you feel older than you are? You're out here trying to have a hot girl summer at 35. You're on dating apps. You're saying yes to spontaneous trips. Maybe you're rediscovering your flexibility. And your knees are like, actually, we'd like to quit. The IncrediWear Infrared Knee Sleeve uses fabric tech designed to increase blood flow and help reduce pain and speed recovery, so your knees can actually keep up with your life. It's like giving your body the support it already wants while it heals, just without all the extra pain and drama. Wear it to the gym. Wear it on a date. Wear it while you're doing things I cannot say on this podcast. It's comfortable, breathable, and works 24/7. Go to freesocks.com and grab the IncrediWear Knee Sleeve and a free pair of socks with purchase. That's freesox.com. Because if something's going to give out, let it be him, not your knees.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Seeking Witchcraft. I'm your host, Ashley, and today I have an Oracle Hecatios to discuss the Minoan Brotherhood. Welcome to the show. Would you mind telling the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Hi, thank you so much for inviting me on here. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about the Minoan Brotherhood. My name's Oracle, Oracle Hecatios. I am a third degree high priest or Minos in the Minoan Brotherhood. I am also a high priest in other traditions of witchcraft. My book is open for pre-order now. It's Strixcraft, Ancient Greek Magic for the Modern Witch by Crossed Crow Books. And I have a active grove in Florida, in Central Florida, where I train a lot of gay and bisexual men in the Minoan Brotherhood.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining and discussing about the Minoan Brotherhood. I'm excited to talk about this. I guess I should probably back up for those who don't know what this is. Can you explain what exactly is the Minoan Brotherhood and anything you might be able to say about the Minoan Sisterhood?
Sure. Well, according to Eddie Buzinski, who was the founder of the Minoan Brotherhood, and along with a couple of other traditions, his quote was, "The Brotherhood is a religious revival for gay men. It is an involvement in the reconstruction of the pagan mystery cult worship of the great mother goddess of the Bronze Age, Aegean, and her divine son, who's the patron of male homosexuality." And I think that that pretty much encapsulates that quote, what we are as a fraternity. Eddie founded the first grove back in January 1st, I believe it was 1977. And then shortly after, he helped his then high priestess in the New York Coven of Witches, Lady Rhea, to establish, along with Lady Mu, to establish the Minoan Sisterhood as a sibling tradition for women, lesbian women. And today, both are open to bisexual people, not just gay. And we have been around since the 70s. And so we're pretty proud of our longevity in that regard.
Awesome. And then you also said that you're a Mino. So could you explain what that means?
Sure. Well, okay. So let me go backwards a little bit. So if you're not familiar with the myth of King Minos in ancient Greek myth, it was a Greek myth that told about the hero Theseus. And Theseus, who was in Athens at the time, in Athens, Greece, before its classical era, was wanting to fight the island of Crete, the Minoans who lived on Crete. And King Minos had as the adversary to the Athenians, a creature in the labyrinth known as the Minotaur. Now, many people are familiar with the Minotaur and with the labyrinth, but the word Minos is believed today by some archaeologists, not all, but some who have to work backwards because we don't have Minoan language translated yet. The Minoans wrote in what's called Linear A, which is a dead language. We have no idea what they said. It has not been translated yet. And they also had hieroglyphics, which they may have borrowed from the Egyptians, with whom they traded with. And so many believe that Minos may have been a title much like Pharaoh for the Egyptians. And so Minos may mean king, monarch, ruler, leader. And as a result, the high priests of the Minoan Brotherhood are called Minos. And plural is Minoi. So I'm a Minos, or I'm a high priest, a leader of the Minoan Brotherhood in my own grove.
So with all the history that you just explained, how much should somebody who is interested in joining, how much should they know about that ahead of time? Or is it okay if people don't know too much about that and they're more of interested in the male mysteries per se?
Well, it's funny you should ask. I don't know if anybody out in your audience or you remember the days of the Yahoo groups.
Yeah. I used to corral Yahoo Answers specifically too, as like a 12-year-old.
Yeah, you know, Yahoo groups was the thing back then, along with message boards and stuff. But for those who are not familiar from a younger age, Yahoo had a setting of different groups, message boards that people could be a part of. And one of the groups that I was a part of that I sought out was the Minoan Brotherhood. They had an actual Yahoo group, but nobody spoke on there. Nobody said anything. You could ask a question and you were told, I'm sorry, this is a mystery tradition. You know, you're going to have to wait until you become you're accepted as a seeker. And a seeker in that language, in that parlance, means someone who is accepted as somebody who is searching out a witchcraft tradition in order to grow and become an initiate in that respect. So we were completely stonewalled, closed off, nobody could say anything. Today, however, I believe there's a little bit more openness, if only because of Michael Lloyd, who is Aminos himself, or was Aminos, wrote a book called The Bull of Heaven, The Mythic Life of and Death of Eddie Buzynski. And Bull of Heaven was written by Michael Lloyd, and it was published back, I believe, in 2016, where he took a journalistic approach to helping to uncover a lot of the occult and movements, movers and shakers of the New York area, where Gardnerian tradition in America was born, the Minoan Brotherhood, the politics of the time, the people who are around, and also the gay movement. So there was a lot of mixing, and Michael just kind of brought that to life. So ever since his book was published, a lot more people, I think, are interested in what the Minoan tradition has to offer.
So I guess we should probably back up. So if somebody is interested in joining the Minoan tradition, what does that process look like? So I know, like you mentioned, seekers, but for those listening who might not know what a seeker is, could you explain a little bit of the process from start to finish? I should say finish, actually, because I think you and I both know once you get third, there's no finishing.
There is no finishing. No, it keeps going. No, but I think one of the best ways to explain is that so in witchcraft, it is against our policy. I believe this is relevant for any witchcraft tradition, really, that it is against the policy of modern witchcraft to evangelize and to recruit people. So we don't do that. And so we have to wait for people to seek us out and to find where there may be a grove or a location nearby that they can seek out, and they can meet with somebody and say, hey, I'm interested in the grove, I'm interested in the tradition. And the requirements for each grove, because we don't call them covens, we call them groves. We call them a grove because it was believed that a grove is a circle of trees, a cluster of trees. And so it was believed at the formation of the Minoan Brotherhood that ancient Minoans worshipped within groves of trees, and so they are called groves. And so each Minos has autonomy as to an empowerment as to what that process can look like for them. So I'm going to speak for myself, if that's okay. For myself, that means that if somebody comes to me, I am going to interview them. I am going to speak with them to see kind of like how our chemistry is a little bit. I may have, with the permission of some of members of the Grove, meet them as well. So that way we can all, if there's any questions that I haven't thought of, perhaps others can think of those questions. So it's a two-way interview process. The person who is seeking should have questions as well. Like, you know, and to the best of our ability as initiates, as people part of the Minoan Brotherhood, as brothers, we will answer to the best of our ability. Because the Minoan Brotherhood is what's called a mystery tradition. And that means that we only will divulge our privacy, our private rituals, our private exponentials to people who are in the group. if you are initiated, if you are welcome into the group, then our privacy comes down and our walls are a little bit more open to communicate with you fully what's going on. And I think that's true for any seeker in any witchcraft tradition, really, is learning the respect of privacy and that you're not guaranteed all knowledge. But I will give them a couple of books to read in order to understand the context of spirituality of male mysteries for gay and bisexual men. I may bring them to one ritual that may be public. For me, it's in August where we do a ritual at the beach to the Lady of the Sea, to the Goddess of the Sea. And so that one, because it's at the beach, for me in my grove, we don't do anything what's considered private. We just, it's an open worship thing at the beach. They may come there and just get a feel, a taste for how we celebrate and how we interact with each other. Because the camaraderie to me is much more important. I want to know that we can get along. And that's important. I'm going to tell you, for any seeker, you have to make sure you get along with the person or persons that you are joining as much as they want you in their group.
Thank you for explaining that. It sounds really similar to my tradition, Gardnerian, as well, with having the seeking and, you know, once you're in an outer court. Actually, when I was in outer court, my coven, I was working with an OC, we actually called ourselves a grove as well. And it wasn't until I visited with some coven leaders on the opposite side of the country as an OC student, just socially hanging out with them. That I kept saying grove, and they were like, what's a grove? Like, why do you keep calling it that?
So yeah.
I didn't know that that was not necessarily a standard word to describe an outer court, but it's cool to hear that you guys use that terminology as well.
Yes. And if I may add also, an outer court, or that is an outer, the public part of the rituals, for those who don't know the term, the public rituals that are put on by a coven or a Minoan grove or what have you, not every Minoan grove has that. You're either in or you're out. Now, my grove was that way, but because we're growing and we're thriving right now, we are in the process, I am in the process of re-implementing an outer court for certain people. And seeing where they're at and meeting them where they're at. And my outer court training, even though I have a curriculum for myself and everyone's different, I try to meet the person where they're at depending on their experience.
I'm really curious about not every group having an outer court. To the best of your ability to answer, just for my own curiosity, what does that typically look like then if somebody is interested in joining, if there's not an OC? Is it just like getting to know the person socially, or?
From my perspective, what it is that we get to know each other socially. There may be a couple of things that I may ask questions on, depending on the literature that they're reading. We may have discussions about the literature that they're reading. We may have certain kinds of, like I said, that one public ritual that people can come to for myself. Other Minoy who don't have outer courts, they may end up doing something similar to what I'm doing as far as books, as far as maybe a class here or there, as far as camaraderie and social interactions. Because the Minoan Brotherhood, for what we do, is compared to a lot of other witchcraft traditions such as Gardnerian or Alexandrian, we can be much more private about what we do. And a lot of times you won't even know. I mean, this is true for any tradition, really, any coven. But a lot of Minoan groves, unless we advertise ourselves, just like covens, you won't know we're in your backyard. Currently, there are two active groves in Florida where I live. And a lot of people have to travel to come to us. And I'm not aware that the other grove may have an outer court, but I certainly am in the process of formulating one unique to my grove. So if it doesn't look like that, if you don't have one, don't give up. It just means that they have a different approach, that they may come and meet you at your level in a different way.
I do have a couple more questions about reaching a coven, as well as some questions overall about the Minoan Brotherhood, but we're going to take a short break and we'll be back in just a second. Okay, welcome back. So continuing what we were talking about, so if somebody is interested in joining the Minoan Brotherhood, how accessible do you think the tradition would be? Like, how widespread across like the US or Europe could somebody find this?
Well, the Minoan Brotherhood is in both the United States. I believe there's a grove in Canada, and there isn't, and we do have groves in Europe. So it is thriving at this time. Now, we did enter a really dark period during the 80s and 90s, where because of persecution, the Minoan Brotherhood had to go underground for a long time. And especially with the rise of so much going on, you know, disease-wise and everything else, gay men were at a high disadvantage as far as, you know, being targets politically. And so there was a lot of dark period for a little while for the Minoan Brotherhood, where we just decided to say, you know, hey, I think it's time to go underground again for a little bit and just to kind of collect ourselves and see where we're at in life. And then a revival came up in the early 2000s where all of a sudden groves began popping up and a lot of initiations kept happening. And now we are thriving more than ever. And so because of that, and I think social media has really helped to establish groves in the area along with contact information. For example, the Minoan Brotherhood for the first time in a long time has an actual website. And if I can give that website, it's actually Minoan-Brotherhood.org, Minoan-Brotherhood.org. And in that website, there'll be a link for different groves that are offering training at this time and their location, along with emails of the Minoy who are doing it.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. I will definitely link that into the episode description. That way people who want to check it out can look into that. Do you know if there happens to be one for the Minoan Sisterhood as well?
For the Minoan Sisterhood, no. There is no website that I'm currently aware of. Unfortunately, a lot of that is due to the fact that the Minoan Sisterhood themselves are working right now to thrive and to expand themselves. Now, one of my high priestesses in another of Eddie's traditions, the New York Wicca tradition, my upline in that one. Upline means people who have initiated you, who have it kind of like your spiritual grandparents and your spiritual parents in your lineage. For those who don't know the terminology, the high priestess is also a initiate of the Minoan Sisterhood. And so we have Minoan Sisterhood Grove in Dallas. We have a couple in New York and New Jersey, but right now they are not, we don't have any in Florida. We don't have any, as far as I'm aware, elsewhere. In places where the Minoan Brotherhood and Minoan Sisterhood do meet, however, interestingly enough, Eddie and Lady Rhea took a lot of the documents and shared rituals and decided to create what's called the Cult of Rhea, or the Cult of the Double Axe. Rhea is the name of the goddess in the Minoan tradition, the goddess Rhea. And so they share a couple of ritual parameters, ritual structures that kind of cause the men and women in both groups to come together and worship Rhea, but that's about it. But as far as the expansion of the sisterhood, I'm not aware of any, nor am I aware of any website, unfortunately, at this time. But we are working to change that.
Great. Well, I appreciate you explaining that and also explaining the terminology of upline for those who may be unfamiliar. I know the answer to this, but I'm asking just in case a listener might have a similar question. Is the Minoan Brotherhood practiced mostly in covens, or are there any solitary practitioners?
So the Minoan Brotherhood, like any traditional witchcraft, in my opinion, is practiced only in a group. Now, can you be a solitary, that is somebody without a group? Absolutely. Once you are, because the Minoan Brotherhood is not just, we are not just witches, we are priests. And what I mean by that is that we are dedicated, we are devotees of the goddess Rhea and her divine son named Asterion, which means starry one. And he is the divine bull, the patron of male love. And so as devotees of the goddess and her divine son Asterion, we tend to have more of a group-oriented rituals, group-oriented mysteries. However, having said that, there is a lot of individual growth that must occur as part of the witch's journey, as part of the priest's journey. And so we encourage, or I encourage rather, again, I can only speak for myself, I encourage outside personal practice to personal spiritual practices that can help a person grow and become a better priest and become a better witch. That can only enhance the grove itself. There are maybe some Minoans out there who may not have a grove because they've moved out of place. They may not be active. They are retired, so to speak, quote unquote. You know, they don't want to do anything anymore because they've been doing it for a lot of decades and they just want peace in their lives, which I don't blame them. But for various reasons, you're going to have a lot of solitary Minoans. But having said all that, the key word here is initiation. You cannot be a Minoan brother without initiation. And initiation means two things. First, it means that you are going through a rite of passage in order to be welcomed by a group that is private. You are now being welcomed formally through a ritual drama into the group. So that's the first definition of initiation. And the second definition of initiation is the expansion of a person's psychic awareness because of ritual. You basically help an individual become more open to the possibilities of the spirit world that we connect with as witches. And that is done through formal initiation rites. You now have the right and the privilege to become an official devotee of our specific gods and goddesses, our specific ones. You can worship any god and goddess outside of initiation. You don't need initiation. But if you want to be a Minoan brother or a Minoan sister, you have to be initiated.
So we talked a bit about how the Minoan Brotherhood is for gay and bi men, and the same could be said for women with Minoan sisterhood. Are there any conversations within the tradition about identity, such as folks who are non-binary who might be interested in joining?
So funny you should ask that. I myself identify as non-binary.
Perfect. Perfect person to ask.
I actually came to that identity through my witchcraft journey. And so my personal practice outside of the Minoan Brotherhood involves being an oracle or a seer to the goddesses Hecate and Dionysus. Hecate is the goddess of witchcraft, simply speaking, and Dionysus is the god of revelry and joy and pleasure, simply speaking. There's much more in-depth context to both, but I don't want to, you know, basically give a soliloquy on either. So I'll just keep it to that. But as a non-binary individual, certainly we are welcome into the Minoan Brotherhood and Minoan Sisterhood. Certainly it is something that as a gender-fluid man, I can still worship with other AMABs, assigned male at men at birth, to celebrate the gods and goddesses of our tradition. The only requirement is that you are someone who does actively have pleasure with other men. That is the only requirement. There are a few groves who will welcome sexually fluid men who identify as possibly straight, but if they are coming in and saying, hey, you know, I'm willing to perform the rituals that you do, I'm willing to encounter the mysteries that you do, some groves will welcome them in. Not every grove, but some will. And so I've seen that happen. But ultimately, it is more about men loving men, whether you are non-binary or whether you are cis.
Now, can I ask, would that also apply? Like, would somebody who is asexual but identifies as gay be welcome?
So that's a difficult question to answer, and I'm going to tell you why. It depends on where the asexual spectrum they are at. If they are both asexual and aromantic, it may be a little difficult for the grove to accept them just because we have very strong intimate rituals that challenge us to open up our emotional and mental and spiritual hearts to one another. And there may be some slight romantic bents to our rituals. But so an asexual aromantic may have a challenge finding that. However, an asexual person who, if they are demisexual, if they are sapiosexual in any kind of way, if there's some kind of interest actively in another assignment at birth, then that's different. But an asexual aromantic may not be able to, may not find this tradition is for them.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you explaining that. Yeah, I know as somebody who identifies as demisexual, I mean, I'm straight, but as somebody who identifies as demisexual, I am always trying to make sure that the people in my community get their questions asked.
Yes, absolutely. No. And these are questions we need to ask. These are discussions we need to have, right? Because how else are we going to understand the boundaries of certain groups and the boundaries of certain people and the comfort level that we all can have with each other?
Absolutely. Now, okay, so let me ask. So for somebody who is listening, who's just discovering about the Minoan Brotherhood and feeling a spark of connection with what we're talking about, what can somebody do if they are interested in finding out more? Is there like any books they can read? Is there a website they can, well, actually we talked about the MinoanBrotherhood.com, but how would you recommend that they can move forward with possibly reaching out and learning more?
Okay, sure. So here's what I suggest them going to Minoan-Brotherhood.org. That's the first one, Minoan-Brotherhood.org. They may also find a Minoan Grove within their state if they go to the website Mandragora Magica. I'm going to spell that out. That is www.mandragoramagica, M as in man, A-N-D-R-A-G-O-R-A, M as in man, A-G-I-K-A, MandragoraMagica.com. And that is the current website that's hosted by a Minoan brother, actually, who has brought together different groves and different covens to advertise themselves in that respect, in different states, different countries and stuff. So a lot of people are starting to use that. They can also go, they can also contact on Minoan-Brotherhood.org. There is a link to emails and grove names that are actively looking for seekers. Mine is among them. So those are several ways. And I would recommend, now not every Minos will recommend this book for reasons, but I do recommend Bull of Heaven by Michael Lloyd.
I just went on Mandragora Magica's website just to make sure I had the spelling correct, because he's actually been on this podcast before, and I clicked on the About for Mandragora Magica, and to my surprise, there's a little clip for the episode that we did together.
Oh, awesome.
On the website. So I was like, oh, that was kind of fun. Oh my gosh. All right. Sorry, getting back to it. Yes, Bull of Heaven. I've definitely heard people recommending that book before. I haven't checked it out, but is that something that people can find easily on like Amazon? I mean, you know, I don't want to say Amazon, but Amazon, or maybe like something somebody could get ordered from their local bookstore, or is it a little bit harder to find?
It is actually published through, I believe now it's public. You can find it on Amazon, certainly. It is also published through Asphodel Press, which is Asphodel, asphodelpress.com. You can order it through that. So, and then some occult stores will also carry it. So it just depends on the owner, but you can always ask your local New Age metaphysical store, hey, can you order this book for me?
Yeah, I will support that. A lot of the New Age bookstores in your neighborhood or your area, whatever is around you, they typically are very open to ordering whatever books their local community is asked them to bring in. So
yes.
Speaking of, you mentioned at the beginning of this episode that you have a book. Would you like to talk about it briefly?
Sure. So my book is Strix Craft, S-T-R-I-X, Strix Craft, Ancient Greek Magic for the Modern Witch. It is being released through Crossed Crow Books, and they are such a phenomenal team. They are beautiful. They are wonderful people that have helped me to really bring my vision into perfect manifestation, actually. And so the book covers how we adapt ancient Greek techniques of magical practices into modern times. And it is devoted to Hecate. It is devoted to our specific gods and goddesses, because it's based on my tradition called the Orphic Strix tradition, which I founded back in 2012. And the Orphic Strix, we have students in Brazil. We've got students across the country and initiates. So we basically are Greek witches at our heart. And we are devotees of Hecate, the goddess Hecate, who I mentioned earlier. And it is Hecate who basically is our patron deity. As such, the book is basically an outer court, if we can use that term again, an outer court to understanding our practices. And I will be having a sequel follow-up to that being released possibly sometime next year, but it's open for pre-order now. And there's definitely a lot of great information there as far as herbs, the gods and goddesses, magical practices of healing, love, binding, communication with your ancestors, and a lot of the festivals that you can celebrate.
Amazing. And if you can send over any information, I can put a link to purchase the book in the bio description of this episode.
Thank you very much. I really do appreciate that. Yeah, I'll definitely send it over.
Awesome. Well, Oracle, thank you so much for coming on and talking about the Minoan Brotherhood. Would you mind giving some information for if our listeners want to connect with you after they listen to this?
Sure. Absolutely. I would. So my email is the best way to reach me. It is my first name, Oracle, Oracle.Hekatios. I'll spell it out. It's Hekatios, Oracle.Hekatios@gmail.com.
Great. And if anybody wants to find me, you can find me on Facebook at Seeking Witchcraft Podcast, on Instagram at Seeking Witchcraft, or if you'd like to support the show, you could do so at patreon.com/seekingwitchcraft. Oracle, thank you again so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom about the Minoan Brotherhood and also talking to us about your new book, or the book that's also going to be coming out. So thank you again. And thank you to the listeners who have been listening. And we'll talk to you again next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Kachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's kachava.com, code FITNESS.
Do your knees make you feel older than you are? You're out here trying to have a hot girl summer at 35. You're on dating apps. You're saying yes to spontaneous trips. Maybe you're rediscovering your flexibility, and your knees are like, actually, we'd like to quit. The IncrediWear Infrared Knee Sleeve uses fabric tech designed to increase blood flow and help reduce pain and speed recovery, so your knees can actually keep up with your life. It's like giving your body the support it already wants while it heals, just without all the extra pain and drama. Wear it to the gym. Wear it on a date. Wear it while you're doing things I cannot say on this podcast. It's comfortable, breathable, and works 24/7. Go to freesocks.com and grab the IncrediWear knee sleeve and a free pair of socks with purchase. That's freesox.com. Because if something's gonna give out, let it be him, not your knees.